joining us on the line, representing the 9th Legislative District, Senator Mark Schessler. Good afternoon to you, sir. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Great to be back with my friends.
And it is great to have you as well, sir. Let's just dive right into one topic I know that you are particularly thrilled to discuss, especially since it has a double impact, not only as a resident, but also as a farmer, and that is the cap and tax situation, which, if I remember correctly, there was supposed to be an agriculture carve-out, but somehow that disappeared?
Right. The statute said production ag is carved out, our ag haulers are carved out, and in our region, our barges on the Columbia Snake River system were exempt, but no mechanism to recover the cost of cap and tax has yet to be produced.
And do you expect that fix to come anytime soon, Senator?
I'm cynical because right now the Department of Ecology on their website is talking about a listening tour how to address it. Some people are saying trust BP. That means we can get our refund from Cherry Point or London. And we run into a situation, if you're a large producer, we can track back that you got a load of fuel from the following location from the following refiner, okay? If you are a medium-sized producer and that fuel has been stored at a CHS terminal or Co-Energy or others, it's commingled. So the producer that maybe gets 1,000 to 4,000 gallons has to figure out, well, where did that fuel come from? Or pass the cost on to a local independent business, our oil marketers, and it just isn't thought out. And it's Trust BP who is profiting enormously from this in the best interests of rural Washington. That's a scary thought.
We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th District here on The Bottom Line.
You know, they were talking about the carve-out, and I've heard that there have been growers and producers and such that have been trying to save. They're saving receipts. They're saving information. They're trying to reach out to Ecology and saying, well, this carve-out hasn't happened since cap and trade went into effect. You know, they did the auctions and everything, and I paid this. How am I going to get reimbursed? You're not seeing any movement on that either, are you?
Well, we started out with the big lie by the administration. It's just a few cents.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the policy center figures are far more accurate.
Yeah.
But if you're a producer in our region, what record do you keep? Of course, the bill.
Yeah.
Do you keep a record of what piece of farm equipment is used in? Do you have to keep track of what your truck was hauling when you drove it somewhere? This is completely on the fly as we approach the third month of this. There's lots and lots of gray and no clear guidance. And yet, you know, farming is starting to happen in the South Basin.
Yeah.
Spring is nearby, and yet no answer.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to get interest? If you're a producer that got a load of diesel in January, and finally in July it comes out, do you get interest? The producer pays interest on an operating line from their lender. Will the state pay interest back to that producer? I doubt it.
Yeah.
We are swimming in cash from cap and tax. The original estimate is $22 a ton. Going into the auction, the best estimates of OFM were $32 a ton. The price was $48.50 a ton. That's 50% over the most recent estimate, which translates into about $300 million. So while people slept this month, their taxes went up $300 million in this state, primarily petroleum users or natural gas users.
Mm. And, you know, I kind of chuckled when I heard you mention that was the Department of Ecology is talking about a listening tour to solve this. It's like, why haven't you been listening already?
When I met with Ecology 2 months ago, I suppose, they didn't see what their role was. They still said it's all big oil's fault. Well, I am certain that any refinery is going to pass costs on as best they can. That's only common sense that this is going to happen. And yet, it wasn't very long ago, they were still spewing the lie that it's only going to be a few cents. We were 40 cents before the auction. I think we're 48 on diesel. Mm-hmm. This is going up, and this isn't farmers saying, hey, it's tough. This is farmers, barge operators, the truckers saying, this is a law. Live up to your law. We're not asking for anything new. Just simply live up to the terms of the law.
We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th District here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA. Senator Schessler, as we talk about cap and tax, of course, we just had the credit auction recently where 48.50 per metric ton. That was the final sale price in Washington State. We know we can expect to see an increase in any type of carbon-based utility, gas, so on and so forth. As a result, we're not done seeing the increases just yet. But we also know that natural gas is being targeted as a part of this carbon attack. And natural gas, whether it is, it's, we know that it's affordable when it comes to putting it in homes for construction. We know that it's been relied upon in the Northwest for a long time. What is the status on the legislation? I know there was a bill in the Senate that would have banned natural gas. Where are we on those, and what does it look like for construction and even for homeowners or businesses that rely on natural gas?
Well, the House bill is probably going to get to Ways and Means before cutoff, where the previous bill died. You know, if we want to add another food processor almost anywhere in the state, natural gas is the only affordable way to convert that heat. In many places, it's far and away the most efficient way to heat a home. I think what really troubles me is Puget Sound Energy, the state's largest investor-owned utility, wants a special deal that they can cut off all new natural gas, which maybe they could through the regulatory system, but they also believe they should be able to buy 60% of all of our new renewables. Well, why is PSE any better than Franklin County PUD or Big Bend Electric or Benton Electric in our region at first priority to buy the green energy? You know, that is a bunch of nonsense that a Canadian-owned company with a Washington-sounding name not only turns the gas off, but they also get a priority to buy in the marketplace.
Kind of sounds like they're trying to create a monopoly.
Well, they certainly, they cornered the market in expansion, John. Mm-hmm. You know, what's wrong with any of our regional investor-owned or public utilities, rural electric co-ops? They should have every opportunity in the marketplace to buy as Puget Sound Energy does. I don't think they're one darn bit better than anybody else, but they want to dominate this market with 15% of the population. That's wrong.
Almost sounds like if they keep stepping or overstepping in this, the first thing that popped in my head was, Federal Trade Commission, unfair business practices. I don't know.
Well, one of my members, the late Senator Doug Erickson, a very, very bright, very conservative legislator from Whatcom County, proposed turning Puget Sound Energy into a public utility district.
Mm.
Well, at the time, it was a little bit radical, but behavior like this and their love affair with cap and tax makes you think, you know, maybe turning them into a public utility isn't such a bad idea after all.
Senator Schessler, one of the other big issues we have certainly in the state is crime. And I'm sure you heard in Moses Lake there was a huge bust when it came to catalytic converters and them being purchased, let's just say not knowing where they came from. Apparently, Washington State Patrol assisted some agencies in Kennewick yesterday. 533 catalytic converters recovered from a scrapyard in Kennewick. It seems every time we turn around, the majority party is proposing other things that are giving criminals more of an advantage over law-abiding citizens. We know that there was a bill from Senator Wilson about catalytic converter theft. It was proposed last session, didn't go anywhere, now proposed this session again, maybe going somewhere. Is there beginning to now finally be a realization that crime is getting out of control in certain avenues, or are we still lagging there in the majority party's thinking?
Well, there's some recognition, but it's a very tepid response. The catalytic converter theft bill is truly watered down. Just like the Blake decision bill is watered down, just like the pursuit bill is watered down, it seems that everybody across the aisle is afraid to do anything but a baby step forward in the name of public safety. 100,000 Americans will die this year of fentanyl. And it doesn't seem to matter which Washington you're in, they don't see it as a big deal. I see 100,000 Americans dying as a really big deal.
And that's almost double the amount of Americans that died in the entire Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And the Vietnam War was the focal point of social unrest when I was growing up. Hugely, hugely controversial for half the people. These people did not have to die from fentanyl.
Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District joining us here on the Bottom Line. One final question for you, Senator. A lot's been discussed about police pursuit. The House bill didn't go anywhere, but the bill in the Senate that didn't even get through committee gets pulled to the floor. Senator Dingra has the ability to make some adjustments to that bill before it was brought to the floor and, I believe, passed. This bill, what are your thoughts on what passing this bill will accomplish, if anything?
It is a baby step forward. And myself and others said, no, we need to really do something about this. You know, case in point, reckless driving. The family that lost two children, father and other child sent to Harborview, the pursuit bill would not allow you to pursue a reckless driver. When you're driving from Thorpe to Yakima in excess of 100 miles an hour, any fool would say that's reckless. But we don't think reckless driving is worthy of pursuit. The other is car theft across this state is off the charts and often involved in commission of crime. If an officer sees what is a known stolen vehicle, they can't pursue. You know, these are baby steps when we need giant steps in public policy.
And recently it was revealed that Washington State was third in auto thefts last year, trailing only California and Texas, two states that have six times and four times the population of Washington State.
Well, and if you look at something that can really hurt the working families that everybody claims they want to help, you know, if a wealthy individual has their car stolen, well, it's okay.
Yep.
It's going to happen. They can buy another one. But that struggling family that loses their only means of transportation while they're waiting for an insurance settlement, waiting for a replacement vehicle, it's a struggle on these people. They don't have the, you know, in many cases, it's struggling working families having their cars stolen.
Great point, Senator.
Yeah.
And one that certainly we wish that those in the majority would hear as well when it comes to dealing with these issues. Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th District joining us here on the program. Thank you very much for your time, Senator. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program, and we look forward to talking
to
you again soon.
Great to be back with your listeners.
Always a pleasure. Senator Mark Schessler joining us, Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA.